This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us here on a Monday. It is SportsNap Radio, and it is Wake Up Call. And you know what? Today's a lot of football because we got some news and notes around the league. We got the Hall of Fame speeches from yesterday, and we're going to look at the New York Giants in hour number two as we continue some previews of some teams. We're going to have Howard Cross is going to join us to preview an interesting team. And I say interesting, it's not a great team, but at times the Giants weren't all that bad, especially defensively. But they've got a lot of work to do. Saquon Barkley coming back from a torn ACL. Daniel Jones is continuing to grow at the position, I guess. We'll talk to Howard Cross about that in hour number two. But a lot of focus last night and in the whole weekend on the Hall of Fame. And I've been saying this leading up into the Hall of Fame ceremonies. For a lot of people, these are special times. You see it at Cooperstown for Major League Baseball, and you can see it in the NBA as well when they go to Springfield. And I'm sure hockey fans do the same thing in their sport. But if you're a football fan, Hall of Fame weekend, especially if that organization is honoring a former player that mattered much to you, it's just a weekend of reflection and celebration of that particular person, and also a celebration of the fan base you may be a part of. If you're a Steeler fan like I am, for example, to hear Troy Polamalu talk about the Steeler culture and just realizing the pride of that organization having so many Hall of Famers, and Peyton Manning, who got up and delivered a fantastic speech, which we'll get to in just a minute. You know, just talking about the Colts fans and talking about the Broncos fans, but also talking about the fans in general, not just the people that rooted for him, but even the people that rooted against him and how important they are to the growth and to the success of the sport that allowed for that particular moment. The NFL has gone through a lot over the last 5-6 years, a lot, from concussions and the debate about safety to Colin Kaepernick kneeling and the anthem issue and everything that the controversies that the NFL has seen sort of put its stock up and down. Peyton Manning, in his speech yesterday, was trying to set that in proper perspective, and we'll get to that coming up next. Your thoughts on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue. It is Wake Up Call, SportsNap Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is SportsNap Radio on a Monday. Again, very football heavy today. Preview of the Giants coming up in hour number two, and we'll get into these Hall of Fame speeches, including Peyton Manning. As I said earlier, if you're a football fan, sometimes these weekends are really cool. Sometimes they're not. I mean, it's hit or miss. It depends on who's getting inducted. I'm one of them. Some years I don't pay attention to this at all. Some years I'm really interested in what certain athletes and certain players and certain coaches are going to say at their speech. It really just depends on the individual. I was really interested in Peyton Manning's Hall of Fame speech yesterday. I was really interested in it because I think if there's one individual that is sort of well-liked across the NFL landscape, it is Peyton Manning. I think even if you rooted against him, even if he bothered you, even if he drove you crazy, even if he was beating you all the time, whatever it is, he has an amazing likability factor. And he's as self-deprecating. He can be really funny, and he presents himself well. He is an entertainer as well as an athlete, and he does a lot of good things. And I just think generally he's likable. I know not everybody likes him, but I think that for the most part, I've never really heard anybody say, I hate that guy. Like I hear with Brady and some other people. So I was interested to see if you've got this individual that loves football, you know, football royalty, all of those things that we've said about the Mannings in the past. You have this individual that loves football, who knows the history of the game. who has been so identified with it since birth, practically. How is he going to deliver all of that in a 6-minute speech, right? How is he going to incorporate everything that football has meant to him and who has meant to him the most in a 6-minute speech? And I thought he nailed it. I thought he nailed it perfectly. He was funny, making jokes about Tom Brady giving a speech, giving his speech on Instagram because they keep shortening the time of everybody.
And
Lewis is still speaking after giving his speech.
I love that he said Tom Brady was giving a speech in 2035.
Right, 2035.
Tampa rejoiced.
And so, yeah, so he really did an excellent job of mixing in the things that he is about. And as I said at the top of the hour, football in the last 5, 6, 7 years, maybe even 10, if you really want to go back to concussions from like the Will Smith movie to people just realizing how bad, like when the old veteran players were fighting for benefits and health benefits, you know, even into retirement, was because of concussions and the damaging nature of that injury. Football has gone through a lot. I mean, football has gone through a lot of arrows thrown at it. And for a lot of rightfully so in a lot of cases, right? I mean, the concussion thing was a serious issue, and the league had to find a way to deal with it. And the league had to find a way to make the game safer from the bottom up. Well, actually, they've tried to make it safer from the top down, to be honest with you, because what they do is they try to implement things at the higher level that it trickles down into the lower levels, right? But they really did a good job in youth football to get kids to not play tackle football at 8 years old, right? To promote flag football until a certain age. They when Colin Kaepernick took a knee and the, you know, there was people who said, I'll never watch the NFL again. The NFL reacted in a way that made people feel like that they couldn't support it anymore because they didn't like people kneeling for the national anthem. For whatever personal reason that was, it just didn't sit well with a lot of people who said, I'm done. Even though we keep seeing the ratings still be very, very good for this sport. But Peyton Manning loves football, loves football. He loves college football. He loves pro football. He loves high school football. He loves youth football. He loves the game, the way the game is played, the strategic element of the game, the athleticism of the game. He loves football. And I think that was the thing he wanted to say to America in his speech. Because towards the end, he sounded very political. He almost sounded like a politician. To be honest with you, a lot of his speech had a sort of political bent, if you will. He was making the case for football, and he was urging everybody that was there who was a player or a coach who had a professional involvement in the game to make sure that they were good stewards of the game going forward, to make sure that there was not going to be a generation that was going to be lost for football. We've seen it happen in other sports. We've seen the rise and fall of other sports, right? There was a period of time where baseball was the king. It's not the king anymore. There was a period of time where even the NHL in the 90s had a really popular video game and just it was expansion. They had a brief period of time and then they kind of dropped off a little bit. The NBA has had its ups and downs, and Manning is aware of this, and he knows that this is a gift. That the fact that millions, 50 plus million will watch an NFL playoff game and 120 million will watch a Super Bowl. He knows that that's a gift. He knows that at any moment, if we don't take care of this, it will go away, right? We're just one generation from a country that is not as interested in football as it was before. And it's a slow trickle, but it's a trickle nonetheless. And he's begging people in that audience to remind themselves of the people that matter the most. He gave credit to the Colts fans. He gave credit to the Bronco fans, but he gave credit to everybody that likes and enjoys football. And I think it was the best speech because of that flavor. He obviously choked up when he talked about his dad. That's totally understandable. Gave kudos to his wife, gave kudos to his kids, gave kudos to his brothers and his mom, who, you know, he made the joke, mom, you know, knew how to break down a cover too. It was just Peyton Manning at his best. The interesting thing about this speech was because it was so anticipated, right? And this is no offense to Drew Pearson, Troy Polamalu, Bill Cowher, anybody else that was giving speeches, Alan Faneca. I think everybody was kind of curious on how Peyton Manning was going to talk because he is a he's become sort of that retired spokesman for the league, right? He's his Peyton Places, I think, bring sports, the football history to people in a very unique and fun way. This project that he's doing with Eli on Monday nights, and I call it a project because I don't know exactly what it is, but I think it's going to draw a lot of ears and eyeballs because of who they are. And he knows where he comes from, right? He knows that he comes from one of the greatest college football quarterbacks of all time. And he comes from a family that is, synonymous with the sport, right? Two brothers in the league, both Super Bowl champions. I mean, it's an amazing, and they've got a young kid in Arch Manning that is being, recruited by everybody in the country. He's aware of that. He knows where he comes from, and he knows how synonymous the sport is. So he had to deliver the speech, right? Everybody else can just talk about my mom sacrificed, gave two jobs, and blah, 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 and I want to thank my coaches, and I want to thank my wife, and I want to thank my teammates. Everybody can do that. But only Peyton Manning was really assigned the, and talk about the game as a whole. Talk about your dad. Talk about your brothers. Talk about the Bill Polian taking a chance on you. Talk about Pat Bowlen and the Broncos and John Elway taking a chance on you the second time when you had the neck injury. Talk about your teammates. But also, if you wouldn't mind, just the final few minutes, the game, the sport. And he did that. And he did that better, I think, than anybody I've ever seen give a speech like that. And it was the way he delivered it. Tell me that when you saw him, you didn't see a potential politician in the way he conducted himself and the way he captivated the audience and the way he paced himself in the speech. He didn't stumble at all. No. He didn't stumble one time in that entire speech.
And to that point, and it wasn't just fans, it was actual prominent NFL former players were all saying, I'd vote for him to be commissioner.
Yeah, but and that's a great point because and we're going to get to this in a minute. He presented himself as a future commissioner to this sport. But when we come back, would that make a lot of sense for Peyton Manning? Because he is right now, today, and this may just be within the 24-hour window, he is on fire for what he did last night in that speech for the sport. And I think it's a great point that you make. A lot of people are making that exact projection for him. This is the guy that should be the face of the National Football League, not Roger Goodell. But there's one little angle to it that I wonder if Peyton Manning would be interested in the job. We'll have that for you next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Their professional parts people will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstart batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, here's Peyton Manning from last night at Canton, talking about cultivating the sport.
As members of this honored class, we have a responsibility to make our game stronger, from the corner playground to the most celebrated stadiums. During the past 2 years, the game of football has been challenged by an explosion of sports and entertainment options, safety concerns, erupting social justice issues, and a worldwide pandemic. Displaced fans have taken on an entirely new meaning as our stadiums have been shut down and fans shut out. We certainly shouldn't walk away now. When we leave this stage tonight, it is no longer about us. It is about cultivating the game that has given so much to us. It's about nurturing football to live and thrive another day, another year, decade, and another generation. It's about guaranteeing that kids everywhere can learn, bond, grow, and have fun with every flag pulled, every tackle made, every pass thrown, every run, block, sack, and touchdown scored.
All right. If you ever go to a corporate meeting, let's say you work in hotel or restaurants or whatever, you may go to the, if you're a manager, you may go to these corporate meetings and everything they design, they say, well, this is going to do this and this is efficiency and this is how we're going to do workflow, right? It's all about keeping customers so that they will keep coming back and giving you money. That wasn't that. That really was a guy who cares very much about his sport. From the bottom all the way up. That was not a, guys, we need to cultivate this so we can keep signing, you know, nine-figure contracts. That's not what he was doing there. He was not saying, we got to bring the fans back so that our stadiums will be full so and this league can make as much money as possible. He's talking about, again, losing a generation. The more that that sport gets hit over and over again, right? Which what he talked about, right? The explosion of things that have happened for that sport that they have dealt with that have caused fans to leave it, right or wrong. Arguments against why you would leave a sport, you know, whether concussions, whether you say, I'm never going to let my kid play because of concussions, or you just go, I'm tired of people disrespecting the flag. People have left this sport. People have decided not to be participants in the product of the National Football League and even college football. He is talking about getting them back. He is talking about not only getting them back, but making sure that there is a place for this sport for future generations. Because as I said earlier, you're one generation removed from having your sport plummet. And you don't want to do that. Because if you're not passing that down to your kids, then they just, you know, they just go, eh. You know, I don't know. Football, we don't like football. I don't know. I don't like football.
Yeah, and if you don't think it could happen, look at baseball.
Right. Same thing. Baseball, same thing.
Baseball was our grandfather's sport. I mean, that's all they did.
Yep. I was taking my son down to the University of Florida this weekend, and he was going through some news, and he mentioned Anthony Rizzo testing positive for COVID. I said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, new Yankee. He came in from the Cubs. And he just said, yeah, Dad, I don't know much about baseball. And I go, like what you like. I said, I know you like football. I know you like Formula One. I know you like other things. I said, like what you like. But he's not ever going to be a baseball fan. I don't think he's ever going to be a Major League Baseball fan. That's it, right? He grew up in an area where football was king, so he likes that. But we don't have a baseball team in Nashville, and I probably didn't take him to a minor league game enough, I guess. But he's a perfect example of that, right? And Manning, he's aware of this. Here's the way Manning closed out his speech last night.
The audience here tonight is made up of diehard fans who feel football deep in your bones. Now, we may have ignited the fire, but you have fanned the flames. Inevitably, those flames will be whipped by the winds of change, but they don't need to smolder. The future of this game is ours to shape. We just need to take tomorrow on our shoulders as readily as we donned our pads before each game. Let this moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you and God bless football.
Right there. Right there. That is a commissioner type statement.
Yes, it is.
That is it. But here's the problem. Commissioners are not cheerleaders for the sport. Their primary job is to work for the owners. Does Peyton Manning look like a person that would work for the owners? Because think about all the teams that have relocated. Think about Houston going to Tennessee. Think about the Browns going to Baltimore. Think about the Colts going to Indianapolis. Think about the Raiders going from Oakland to L.A. back to Oakland to Vegas. Think about the Rams going from L.A. to St. Louis back to L.A. Every single commissioner that has ever been a part, from Pete Rozelle to Paul Tagliabue to Roger Goodell, of a franchise that has tried to fleece its city for a taxpayer-funded stadium, and you're seeing it in Buffalo, has never called out that tactic, has never said, this is wrong, that fan base should never, ever lose that team. They go with what the owners want, and the owners want leverage. They always have. I don't think Peyton Manning could stand in front of a media and say it would be a fine idea if the Bills left for Austin, Texas. He doesn't seem to be that kind of person. He doesn't seem to be that kind of person that in a tough CBA would try to limit player salaries, try to hold back the cap or rights for players. And that's too bad, because there isn't a better spokesperson for the game than Peyton Manning.
No, you're absolutely right. I can't see him standing on the side of the owners if the players wanted to strike.
Absolutely. And you have to, because that's who you work for.
That's your job.
That is your job. Like I said, this Bills situation is terrifying to my friends who are Buffalo Bills fans. Right? Now, I don't think it's going to happen. I think I've seen this play out a couple of times where eventually the two sides come together and they go, all right, we wanted a fully funded stadium. You're not willing to fully fund it. We'll meet somewhere in the middle. I've seen it happen. I've seen every single franchise who has wanted taxpayer stadium, you know, go, oh, we're going to have to move. We're going to have to move to LA, or we're going to have to move. And they don't, right? Some do. Some have moved. But Peyton Manning could never sit there and say, no, it's a good idea. This is a good idea for another city to get somebody else's NFL team in that fan base.
Yeah.
Because and you can't call it out. You cannot call it out as a commissioner.
No, and the sad thing is, you can't sit there and tell me, oh no, you know what? That team has too much history. It won't happen.
It won't happen. Right. Right.
Because we've seen it happen to teams because who have a much more history. Cleveland.
Why do owners vote to allow other owners to move from cities? Why do they do it? Because one day they may do it.
Yep.
And when they do it, they want everybody in that room to remember that they took care of you when you got to go to a new stadium in Las Vegas. And now I have an opportunity to go to a new stadium in wherever, and I'm going to do just that. And you better vote for me like I voted for you. And as a commissioner, you stand by and you take those arrows from the fan bases and you get booed at the draft. And Peyton Manning is not a booable guy as a person. He may be as a player when you're rooting against him, but he's not as a person. Right? As a person, he's very likable. And it's too bad, because I would love to see Peyton Manning be the real face of this league. Right? The real face of this league. From promoting it, from talking about it, to explaining issues in the sport to the media. But it's a difficult role to have. And I don't know what his role could be, but what I saw was a very political, well-spoken guy who represents his sport really well. That's the one thing about Peyton Manning that a lot of players in these speeches don't really give you. They give you their careers and how much they love. He loves football. Listen to the way he talked about it at the end. He is begging everybody in that crowd to do whatever it takes to promote the game and keep the game alive. He's begging everybody, make sure you understand this future of this sport is precarious. It's not given. This isn't always going to be the king. This is not always going to be the top spot if we don't take care of it. And he's saying, take care of it. Help us take care of it. And it's extremely well done. He had the toughest job last night because he was going to deliver the one speech I think everybody wanted to watch. And he nailed it. This is very similar to conventions, right? Where you go to a political convention and maybe you go to the Democratic National Convention and they're like, so-and-so's got the biggest speech of his life tonight. All right, obviously, these aren't on the same level, right? Where it's politics and it's the leader of the free world. But Manning did have that sense going into this, right? Of all the speeches, the one that had to be nailed was this guy's.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the one Hall of Famer everyone knows got,
right,
or one person that everyone knows got inducted to the Hall of Fame. You might have a hard time naming the other members,
sure,
of the class.
Sure. You're right. And he's the one guy, because of his history of being a well-spoken representative of the sport, we all were wondering, well, what's he going to do? Remember, we talked about it last week. How is he going to throw history in there? How is he going to throw his family in there? How is he going to throw his career in there? Tom Brady in there? Like, the list was long of things that you knew he had to touch on in the six minutes or so that he had to give his speech. And he hit a grand slam. I mean, in my opinion, he hit a grand slam.
I mean, he nailed all the talking points that we wanted to hear.
Absolutely. He nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. And he knew, and you know what the other thing was? And I can't harp on this enough. Towards the end of that speech, and I think that's where, to me, I was hit the hardest. Was that speech. I was, you know, great dad, help, you know, all that. But I was hit hardest about his passion for that sport. He knew that's another angle of his career and his life that was sort of expected in this speech. There is nobody that represents football or the NFL like Peyton Manning, and how is he going to deliver the just general state of the sport? He hit a home run. Staying with football, the legacy of Bobby Bowden passed away over the weekend. There is more than just being the Seminole coach, and we'll talk about that coming up next on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, reminder, hour two, coming up in 1 hour, we'll talk to Howard Cross about the Giants. We're going to preview them coming up. We'll do a lot of previews leading up to the season. On my flight yesterday, I flew out of Orlando, and I got, you know, I went into Hudson's, you know, those news stores, those places where you can get candy and magazines and whatnot. And I just bought an NFL magazine just to, like, be on the plane. I didn't want to be bothered. I was on a flight where they charge you for drinks and snacks. And I was like, eh, if I can just keep my mind occupied for the hour and a half flight from Orlando to Nashville. I was glad my flight got underway, though. Do you hear all these airlines were, like, canceling flights left and right? I was a little nervous when I got to the gate. I was like, oh, all right, there's a plane. Yay, we're leaving. I didn't want to get stranded. Although Orlando is not a bad place to get stranded. Bobby Bowden passed away over the weekend at the age of 91. Bowden was at Florida State for 34 years, where he won two national championships. He literally owned the 80s and 90s. I mean, he just phenomenal. From the late 80s to probably the late 90s. He won the national title in 99. Florida State was one of the most dominant programs in college football. His rivalry with Florida was intensified because both schools were really good. You know, Steve Spurrier had the fantastic offense in the mid-90s with Danny Werfel. And Florida State had some of the better stars in the game of college football, including Deion Sanders. But Bowden's legacy is a lot more than that. He is genuinely considered one of the nicest guys in sports. He was one of the just genuinely good souls. And you probably saw a lot of that this weekend with people, especially broadcasters and writers and people in sports media commenting or having a story about however Bobby Bowden meant to them. He frequently contacted beat writers when he found out that they were going through some personal tragedy. So if you covered Florida State's beat for a couple of years, and you obviously get to know these guys on, seeing them every day. But if he had heard something happened to your mother or something happened to your father or whatever, he always reached out with a loving hand and always reached out with support. He's just genuinely one of the nicest guys in all of football. Now, for those of you who might have remembered the movie We Are Marshall with Matthew McConaughey about the Marshall plane crash in 1970, Bobby Bowden was the head coach at West Virginia. Now, you might remember a scene where Jack Lengle, played by Matthew McConaughey, and Matthew Fox, his assistant coach, they go to Morgantown because they need to change their offense. I mean, they were going with a power eye, and they couldn't do that anymore. They were going to start a bunch of freshmen, and they needed something else. They needed to learn the veer, and they had to go to West Virginia to go through tape. And they make it kind of the way the movie makes it out to be is, you know, they go to Morgantown. They're a little nervous ask about this. And Bowden, the actor who plays Bobby Bowden, says, oh, we don't play y'all this year. It's no problem. And then he shows them all the film. And so you can watch all of this film. Well, in reality, they didn't. The Marshall West Virginia rivalry actually had been off for a while. So that wasn't just one of those, yeah, it's okay because we're not playing you. Bowden was deeply affected by that plane crash. Deeply affected. He actually petitioned the NCAA for his team to wear Marshall helmets and wear Marshall uniforms in honor of that team. And the NCAA turned that down. He wanted to play Marshall's final game on their schedule in tribute to the team because they had died and, you know, they had crashed on their way back from Greenville. They had played East Carolina. He wanted his team to play Marshall's final opponent that year as Marshall, and the NCAA turned that down. The scene in the movie where Jack Lengle is watching film and two players come in and Bowden comes in and he goes, oh, guys, meeting's over here, and the players turn and the Marshall the green crosses on their helmets with MU on it. That's real. That they did that. They honored Marshall in that way. He was deeply, deeply affected by that. He, you know, obviously the close proximity of Marshall to, you know, to West Virginia, being obviously in the same state and whatnot, and similar people that you run into when you are, you know, even if you're in different universities and sort of semi rivals, you know, Huntington and Morgantown, you do run into the same people in the state. So he was deeply affected by that. But he was, again, one of the more genuinely nice guys. I had a really kind of weird, I wanted to go to Florida State. I ended up at South Carolina, but I have no qualms about this. When I was younger, I loved college football and I wanted to go to a school that had a big college football program. I grew up, as I've told you guys many times, in New Hampshire. We don't have big college football there, you know, like, and so, but I was always fascinated with it, just watching it on ABC with Keith Jackson as a kid. So I wanted to feel college football, and Florida State was the biggest program at the time. And I just knew that I was going to do this for a living. And so I figured I could go anywhere and just, and do it. But I, you know, I wanted to experience it. But I will tell you that remember when Florida State had that kicking problem? Like, they couldn't beat Miami and they were missing kicks, and you would just see Bobby Bowden running on that field. I didn't know back then. You know, I always kind of pictured a gruff coach that would just be mad, you know? He always cared immediately when his players would fail. Like, when those kickers would miss those critical moments, he knew all hell was going to come down on him. And this was before social media and everything that current coaches have to deal with now in terms of the psyche of their players. He knew that the student body would be against these kids, and the fans would be against these kids, and he tried to protect them in the best way he could. Now, I'm not saying he's unique in that. We have plenty of coaches across the board have been like that. Plenty of coaches have deeply cared about the student athletes that play for them. But Bowden was really behind it. A lot of it had to do with his Christian faith, and a lot of it had to do with just a genuinely nice individual, a very calm individual that really knew football had a learning aspect to it that he really wanted to make sure. He was asked one time if he ever prayed for an outcome, and he said, "Oh God, no, I never would pray for an outcome. I always prayed that my players would do the best they could and always prayed that they would be safe." And that was it. That was his answer. It was immediate. He was that genuine. And at 91 years old, think about the tree. You know, we always talk about Belichick's tree. His coaching tree is pretty big, too, of the people that have had experiences with him at Florida State and have gone on to their own successful careers. But I always loved, and this was even before I met my wife and got into more of the Gator aspect, I always thought the Florida State games were fascinating and really good, really good. And I remember the one year I think it mattered most was it was Werfel's, I want to say his senior season. They had lost. They went to Florida State and they lost in Tallahassee. And yet somehow they ended up, I don't know, again, who knows how these things occur, but they ended up playing Florida State again in the Sugar Bowl. Now, this was in 96. So this is when, you know, the basic national championship was voted on. So this is even before BCS, Harris poll, all that stuff, computers, all that stuff. This is when AP writers and coaches polls would then say after January 1st, hey, here's the champions. This is even before they started putting one and two together. You know, like, hey, no matter where you are, if you're one or two, you're going to play. And so Florida State had beaten Florida, and they should not have had to play them again, right? They you should not have to have a rematch against the team you beat. But somehow they both ended up in the Sugar Bowl, and on a faster surface, on a neutral field, Florida won that game. And not only did they win that game, but they sat back and they watched as Ohio State in the Rose Bowl beat Jake Plummer and Arizona State. And when that happened, Florida was crowned the champions of college football. They won their national championship, and they won it even though they had lost to Florida State in Tallahassee. It's one of the great rivalries in college football. It has lost a little bit of its luster. Florida State has really fallen on some hard times, and they fell on hard times towards the end of his tenure in 2007, 8, and 9 before he finally retired. But Bobby Bowden is 91 years old. Last month, he was diagnosed with a terminal medical condition. Later, his son said, I think it was Terry Bowden, that said that his father had pancreatic cancer. But you think about Tommy Bowden, you think about just his kids and being coaches. Man, it's an amazing legacy that he had. He married his high school sweetheart in 1949. He had to give up his college career because Alabama at that time did not allow its, I think, his freshman to be married. And he said, well, I guess I won't be playing. I'm going to get married. I'm going to marry Ann, my high school sweetheart. And they were married up until his death. So rest in peace, Bobby Bowden. All right, coming up, we'll talk more about last night's Hall of Fame induction ceremony, the legacy of football, because there is an interesting aspect to it that I do want to get to. And then next hour, we'll preview the Giants. And we've also got Howard Cross and the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along with Wake Up Call.
Is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. All right, so last night, Hall of Fame speeches, a lot of focus on Peyton Manning and the speech that he did, but there was also really good ones, as I said earlier. Troy Polamalu talking about Steelers culture was pretty awesome. Drew Pearson giving a shout-out to Roger Staubach was pretty cool as well. I thought it was a pretty good, you know, just going over them, they were pretty good speeches. Again, short, to the point. I know that these speeches have been shortened, right? There were a lot of people to get inducted, and I get it, you know. And people say, they wish they had more time. Not all speeches are home runs. Let's be honest with you. Let's be honest. Not all speeches are home runs. So the occasional one that you want to hear more of, there's also going to be one that goes on way too long and just kind of drags out. And you get to a point where you're like, oh, okay. You can't thank everybody. But I think overall it was a really good night for football. My question, Ron, is this. Because of Manning's speech, I think there was a lot of emotion. We have a tendency to sort of forget these kind of things in years past. Do you think there is a possibility that if you are absolutely on the fence, meaning you're not on one side or the other, meaning you can be swayed either way, you like his numbers, but there's a little bit of hesitation. Do you think Manning's speech last night helps his brother in voting in a couple of years?
Ooh, I don't know. That was a thought that was going through my mind. It's like, is Eli looking at this like, one day me, or is it? He looking at it like, God, I hope I get that chance.
Yeah, I think the voters that will be voting for Manning, I think right now there's people who are absolutely saying, yeah, absolutely, and then there's people going, no, no. But I think there are a group of people that are like, I'm still on the fence. Every time I see something that I like, I see something I don't like, and I'm going back and forth. But I wonder if that speech, there is a feeling like this family, I mean, just does football like no other family. And I think there's a little edge to make me go, all right, you know what? But some of the things I don't like are outweighed by the things I like. Check.
Say Eli does make the Hall of Fame. Are we expecting him to have a similar speech?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think so. I'm kind of leaning towards no, because I don't think we've ever put Eli and demanded that he do the same things as his brother, right? Like, we never said, hey, Eli, why don't you do something like funny like your brother does with these commercials? He does. I mean, there's a couple of things he does. He's definitely not as charismatic as his brother. But we'll see, you know, we'll see him open up more and more in this Monday night football game.
True. That helps his candidacy, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, Brady got booed last night and he turned around. I thought it was funny.
What did I do wrong?
He's awesome. I'm looking forward to when I'm 90 and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. You're right. That was a funny joke Manning made about his going in 2035. When Brady gets in, though, I think the people that really really hated him, it's enough time to sort of go, my God, he was great. God, he was great. Oh, he beat my team up. Oh, my God, I couldn't stand him. Oh, I really think he cheated. But I think you get this buffer of time where you go, wow. I think people started to feel a little bit more of a Brady fan when he went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl there where, you know, he was away from the Patriots and still was able to do it. I'm really curious as how Brady talks in his Hall of Fame speech, because, you know, Manning's really set the bar. And let's not forget, and we have said this many times about Peyton Manning. He had a very storied career in college, right? He had one of the better college careers, but he never won a national title. In fact, T. Martin won a title as soon as he left. He never beat Florida. And there was a real debate about between him and Ryan Leaf. And yeah. people just forget that because of the unbelievable career that he had.
You know, and I've admitted this many, many times that 98 draft, I thought I won.
Yeah,
I thought
sure.
we had won. I thought sure. the Chargers got the better quarterback.
Yeah, and it's just phenomenal. Yeah, you didn't think you'd get a guy that was throwing apologies, crumpling them up and tossing them in the corner of a locker?
Yeah, and you know, because he's being questioned about, I thought your elbow was hurt, but you were out golfing 18 holes.
Right.
Yeah, get out of here.
Get out of here. But people, you know, because he was such a no-brainer and five MVPs and 14, whatever his stats were, just amazing career. But Ryan Leaf, the people were like, Leaf does this better, this better, this better. And there was a real debate about
bigger
it.
Body, bigger arm.
Yeah.
I mean, just go down the list.
Exactly. And I was kind of wondering, I was curious, I think a lot of people were, when Manning went to Denver, you know, like, how is that neck, right?
Yeah.
Neck injuries are weird. They, you know, they just... You know, is he going to do good? People were really wondering. At camp,
and that was something else that was brought up yesterday. I started seeing it floating around on Twitter. It's like, did he have two Hall of Fame careers?
Sure, you're right. You're right.
You know, because you look at the numbers with the Colts and his numbers with the Broncos, separate them. He might have had two Hall of Fame careers.
When he threw 55 touchdowns in 2013,
yeah.
I mean, that was 1 year after starting for the Broncos in 2012.
Set single season records
right.
in touchdowns, passing yards. See, when he won an MVP, he didn't win an MVP, but he was Offensive Player of the Year, he was Comeback Player of the Year, led them both to Super Bowls. I mean, there's eerie stats that just go along with both.
He was Sportsman of the Year for Sports Illustrated, even though I thought David Ortiz should have got it that year. You can't deny that what he did in Denver. I mean, I was in Denver for 10 years waiting for that franchise to do something, and they didn't do anything. They went to the AFC Championship once. He got there after I left, and all of a sudden, he immediately made that a winning culture. A culture they can't get back. They've started 10 different quarterbacks since he has left Denver. The day he announces his retirement after winning that Super Bowl, the Broncos have yet to fill that quarterback position with anybody that can have any sustaining success. Not even Hall of Fame success. Not even Peyton Manning success. Forget that. That's on another level. Just being a consistent starter. They haven't found one yet.